Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Looking at God's Word, hard work is very valued, but there's a difference with hard work and this concept of hustle.
Yes.
Would you explain a little bit about the difference?
My research took me to Genesis first, and God wants us to work in partnership with Him. So the work that God gave Adam to do was in tandem, in partnership with the Lord. And when that changed is after sin entered the world. God says to Adam after the fall, "Now by the sweat of your brow, Adam, you are going to strive for your existence." I think that's what happens when we go from working in obedience to the Lord, with the Lord's guidance and in the Lord's timing, and His agenda is really the goal. And then we cross over and we just are trying to produce things on our own. And we're hustling or striving or working ourselves into exhaustion or working at things in our own way. And it's us saying to God, "Hey, I've got this. I know what's best for me," or "My timing is better than your timing, so I'm going to make this happen on my own." And I think that's what we see a lot in our culture, is people working so hard at whatever their goal is, whether it's a fitness goal or a financial goal, but we end up sacrificing things, and often that's our relationships, our families and our friendships get strained, or even our mental health or physical health ends up getting sacrificed.
What else does Scripture say about the idea of hustle, again, versus the idea of hard work? Because we're called to have a good work ethic.
Absolutely. Scripture is very clear. You know, like Proverbs is full of the early bird, the ant who works hard, the idea of sowing and harvesting.
Yeah.
I think all of that is great. Jesus was always ministering, but the difference is that He knew when He needed to refuel. He subscribed to the idea of Sabbath and rest and pulling away and being with a small group of people who would refuel Him. And I think we're not very good at that in today's culture. We don't like the idea of rest or having to stop, or we think it's weakness if we have to stop or refuel ourselves. So I really dove into a lot of Scripture from Genesis all the way through the New Testament at the idea of what happens when we try to make things happen in our own timing. A great example is Abraham. God gave him a promise for the future. "Abraham, I'm going to give you a son." And instead of allowing God's best timing to unfold in what would have been the best case scenario, Abraham and Sarah come together and create this plan. What that does is say, "God, I know better than you," and or "My timing is better." So it created this huge mess with Hagar and Ishmael. We're still seeing turmoil between the Ishmael and the Isaac descendants, you know, millennia later. What would have happened if they had just waited on God's timing and allowed God's best to happen in the way it was supposed to?
Absolutely.
So I think that's the difference between working really, really hard at something and then trusting that when I do things God's way and in God's timing, it's going to achieve the best result.
Yeah. Melinda, in our own lives, we've all done that at least a time or two where we've gone ahead and thought our way was the best and we really messed things up. Yeah.
And God can absolutely redeem anything, but I think it's us coming to Him, you know, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that He's betrayed and is arrested and knowing that His death is imminent. Jesus, God the Son, the one who spoke creation into being, He still humbled Himself and He obeyed the will and the way of the Father and said, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." And that verse from Luke 22:42 is really like the theme for the whole book, because if Jesus, who could have created a different way out of that scenario, He chose to give up His life for us. If He could be obedient and walk in obedience to His Father in something that was so grand, then surely I can obey God in the much smaller things in my day-to-day life. And we tend to think about obedience to God being like the big things, like where should I go to college? Whom should I marry? Should I take this job? Should I move to this new city? Should I be done having kids? Should I adopt a child? Should I move overseas? Like these big spiritual things. And really God wants to be involved in the day-to-day conversations of how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I interact with my friends and family, what kind of neighbor I am, how I steward the finances that God's given me, how I treat my husband, what kind of neighbor I am, all of those things. What does obedience to the Lord look like in all of that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Melinda, do you have any practical advice for us as we seek to do things with excellence, but being mindful of, Lord, am I being obedient to you?
Surrounding yourself with people who can hold you accountable to what it is that you think that you're supposed to be doing is key. So my husband and I have a circle of friends who have the freedom to say to me, is what you're doing right now what God's called you to do? Or are you taking on something that you have no time and really no business or energy doing? So I think that's really important. And then for me in my own life, I know that sleeping well means that there's peace in my mind and my heart. And I think that we tend to get on the anxiety wheel when we're taking on too many things. So for me, I'm looking at my calendar and what I'm spending my time doing and where my money is going. And that's a pretty good indicator of what are the most important things in my life. I know that if I'm sure about what my yeses are, then it's very easy to say no to everything else. So when I quit my job to stay home and homeschool my kids, that was goal number one. Number two was taking time to hone the craft of writing. And the other thing was being a good neighbor. And so we were opening our doors and inviting neighbors in, and I was mentoring college students, and we were really all about community in our home. So that for me meant that I could say no very easily and quickly without any guilt and without any obligations to other community events, to being at every women's Bible study, to putting my kids in tons of activities because I had already shifted my attention to what my yeses were. So I think those are two things, like knowing what it is that you are supposed to be doing right now in the season with your budget, with all of the circumstances that surround you, and then have people in your life who can help you stay on that path and not get distracted.
That's great advice. Thank you so much, Melinda. Where can we learn more about you?
I am at melindafuller.com or obedienceoverhustle.com.